Henry. Good morning and praise the Lord. If you can lift up your hand, praise the Lord. And as we say, this will be our last Sunday to say Happy New Year. So if you tell us Happy New Year next Sunday, we are going to be worried. Happy New Year. All right, praise God. We want to welcome our ministers. This is the 11 a.m. youth service. Most of the people here are students, young people. And we welcome you heartily and with our hearts open. And I'm very sure this will be a blessing to you, even as you will be a blessing to us. Let's give them a welcome hand and God bless you. Now we go straight to the Word of God and new beginnings. We are all in the year starting it. Others have attacked it. Others are not very sure how the year will be. But the truth is, the year will not wait for anyone. Time is moving and quickly so. And so, focus for today's reflection is engage wisely. And that has to do with picking your battles light. Engage wisely, picking your battles light. Now, start the year with the Lord of the year. That's what we said last Sunday. Start with the Lord, continue with the Lord, end with the Lord. Now, the Bible says, this is Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all that you do, and after you do that, what will happen? The Bible says he is going to direct your paths. In other words, God is going to give you the wisdom of living. He will show you how to live. Now, in this regard, the second reading, the Apostle James says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives generously to all of us without finding fault. And so when you walk with the Lord, when you acknowledge the Lord in the new year, he is going to guide you. And what he is going to do, he is going to give you wisdom to live. And for the purpose of this sermon, what the dimension I'm taking today is that God will give you wisdom to pick up battles of this life. Now, life is full of battles. Every single day you are invited to fight. Now, there are battles that you have to fight yourself. This is what we see in Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can be able to stand, and having done everything else, to stand. So that when the day of trouble comes, you're going to be saved. In other words, James is telling us, each one of us has a card. When you go to the bank, you pick a ticket. One day, your number will go up there. Trouble will come calling. So he says, stand firm so that you're able to fight. Put on the full armor of God. So there are some battles that belong to you. There are some battles that we engage in that are not our business. You could be fighting battles that are not yours. Now, a good verse to think about, it's a very interesting verse. This one here. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Now, I don't know that experience. Perhaps you can try and tell us what that is. So sometimes we engage in battles that are not ours. You are fighting battles that you have nothing to do with. Some of the other battles we do are not important at all. So there are some battles maybe that may not be very important to us. Hence, we need to choose those battles. And a good verse is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. The heart of the wise inclines to the light, but the heart of the foolish inclines to the right. In other words, the heart of the wise leads them in the right path, but the heart of the fools lead them in the wrong path. So you'll be able to have that wisdom to decide this is the right path for me to take. And finally, there are battles that belong to God. Especially when we pray, our battles cease to be ours and they become God's. And this is what we see in the Bible. You see the story of the Israelites, sometimes they fight the battles themselves. Sometimes the Lord says, the battle belongs to me. And some battles are the Lord's. Amen? Now, having said that, let me give you my story. You know I like giving you my personal stories because I'm human like all of us. Now, if there is a lesson I've picked in recent times in my my life, and God is helping me in this, and I'm very glad, is choosing my battles right. Because there is a time I was like the anti-riot police. That's why I have those pictures there. Ready to engage. I was always ready to fight. When you talk to me, I'm listening. Hey, what train are you coming? You know, ready to engage. And I want to give you one example. It's a very personal example. God has helped me since. 2013, I'm driving along Gong Road. And then I hear somebody hooting behind me. You know, there are people hoot like they need you to go. And having stayed with Reverend Fury for a while, one of the things I learned from him is that he didn't get agitated when you hoot at him. So I picked that from him. So I was asking the driver behind me, what is wrong? Why are you pressing us this hard? Now, she managed to overtake me, but simply because I asked her what is wrong, she decided now to punish me. So what did she do? So when traffic was moving, she decided not to move. So I can see the cars in front of her are moving, but she decided, and I could see her adjusting the king mirror to see me. So I knew it was very deliberate. Now I didn't feel so bad. So when we got into a still traffic, I knew this is the time for me to revenge against my enemy. So what did I do? I got out of the car and deflated one of the rear tires. Too bad. At that time, I thought I had done very well, you know? And I said, who is? You know the way you ask. So I was very happy, but the happiness was very imaginary. It was not tangible. It did not help me perform well in the day. But it's a battle I engaged in that was totally not important and necessary for that. Now imagine that person coming to church and see me here. And, you know, that was 2013. So this is an example, a practical example of, and this is an area God has helped me a lot. You know, that's why I'm preaching about it. Because for me to grow, and I encourage you all the time, is personal development is important. Because there are some things God will do for you, there are things you do for yourself. And God will never do for you what you can do for yourself. Grow yourself. No wonder the Bible says God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So you're not just growing in matters of God, you are growing in matters of life as well. Praise God. So that's, I can give you many more examples, but because of time, and because we have a new moderator, let me stop there. Now, look at this. There are some people who could be hurting today. There are people who are injured. There are people who are fatigued. There are people who are carrying unnecessary burdens because they picked wrong battles. They did pick wrong battles. Some people have engaged in petty arguments, saying one of the things I do on the side where I stay in Gong, I mobilize some mechanics. Those people don't go to church. And I found two of them engaging in a very heated controversy. And I actually thought they were fighting in the next minute. So they were asking me for my smartphone. I'm asking, when do you need the smartphone? You know what they were fighting about? They wanted to know how much Romelu Lukaku is paid per week. Those of us who know Romelu Lukaku is a footballer. And they were almost getting into each other, fighting. A very petty argument. You know, winning over your critics. We all have critics. We have naysayers, we have competitors, people who not like you, and you are spending a lot of time trying to please them. You may not win that. You know, I want to make a point like I did along Gong Road. I wanted to make a point. And actually, most of these things are inspired by pride, by the way. It's actually pride. So you want to make a point. So what after you make that point? It's my right. You know, when you're driving in these roads, especially in our city, you have to be very careful. Because if you stick to your right, you're going to have it laugh. Now you have this matatu person pushing on your lane, and you are about to say, I'm in the right lane now, and you insist, you know what will happen. So it may not become a very important battle to fight. You know, try to change what you cannot change. We spend a lot of time trying to change things that we have no authority over absolutely. I am right. You know, sometimes you are right and you want to make sure you are right. And sometimes you can be right and then many other things go wrong. And as I was saying later, sometimes it's good to be wrong so that you can be right. Praise be to God. So there are people who are in this situation because of carrying unnecessary battles. Now, let me go back to the Bible. We have an ideal example from the scriptures. And this is huge. This is what transformed me completely when I came to learn this. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, this young man, David, has brothers who are in some prestigious job. They are soldiers in the army. The father calls him and says, go. He was a shepherd, a mere shepherd. And the father tells him, go to check on your brothers. Take some food. This guy went to the field. And then he had the Philistine give the threat he was giving all the times. You know, I'm calling on the Israelites to have one among their ranks to come and fight him. Now, David knew he would fight this guy. But he did not just engage in that battle. He asked a very important question that we as young people need to ask ourselves all the time. So what did he do? The Bible says, David asked the man standing near him when he had that man, Goliath, defy the army of the Lord. He knew this is a battle I can fight. But before I engage into it, let me confirm something. And this is a very important principle in life. As young people, please be giving your thoughts a chance. Sometimes we do things without giving our thoughts a chance. Have a time to reflect and think about what you're about to say or do. Now, this guy talks to a man and says, a very important question. What will be done to the man who kills this Philistine? A very important question. So in other words, what was he asking? What is the price of this battle? Now, the response was fabulous because the price was threefold. He said, hey, now, the guy that beats this man, three things. The first thing, he will get wealth. This verse here, verse 25 of the first reading. Do you see this man that king's coming out? He comes to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth. Wow, something good, isn't it? Then number two, the king will also give his daughter into marriage. Wow. Sounds good, doesn't it? Wow, marriage. Then, that with the family, him and the family will have no business with KRI feeding the returns because they will be exempted from tax. Three things. Wow. You ask, what is the value of this battle? Wealth, marriage, tax. This guy said, wow, well, that's good. This is a battle I can engage in. Now, no sooner had he been told this than his elder brother invited him to a battle that had no spoils. His older brother, people say, his name is Eliab, called David and said, young man! You know the way young people are referred to? Young man! In a very demeaning way. Why are you here? I know how conceited you are. With whom did you leave the little flock? You came here to watch the battle. Now, the elder brother is inviting him to fight. Then this guy looks and I say, this battle is not a good battle to engage in. Why? It has no spoils. So what did he do? The Bible says he looked the other side. And that's a very important thing. He looked the other side. Because it was not an important battle. Okay? Now, friends, what then should we do? Come to the conclusion now. What should we do as young people? Now, the first thing is, know that you cannot please everyone. And this is something you need to know as you live. Sometimes we are so pressurized to do things for the sake of other people. There are people who will never like you. Even people who don't know, perhaps they will like, they will hate you when you are passing. That's what kind of a person is this? How is he walking? And it's a very unrealistic expectation of life when you think that everyone is for you. You're going to have naysayers. You're going to have critics. You're going to have competitors. Now, if you spend all your time trying to prove yourself, you know, to those, you'll never win everyone for yourself. No wonder Psalms 23 brings that awareness to us. The shepherd, the good shepherd. And we said that when we're starting the year. Start the year with a good shepherd. He will not only take care of you and things are good, he'll take care of you also when things are not. And one of the things that Psalm brings to our realization is that we will have enemies. No wonder he says he will place a table before the eyes of your enemies. So, not everybody will be for you. And sometimes we fight this battle and we cannot win over late. Trying to please everyone. It's Bill Cosby who said, I don't know the key to success, but I know the key to failure. Trying to please everyone. It is a tall order. You cannot make it. Number two, Consider the reward of the battles you are about to engage in, like David did. Actually, David did it twice to confirm, because after he ignored his brother, the Bible says he turned to another person and asked what will be given to confirm the story, so that before he engages, he knows the price is real. It's not a con game. So that's what he did. Ask yourself this question. What is the price of this battle? So after asking that, so what? Two things. Number one, quickly, learn to ignore. Learn to ignore. And we have four biblical examples quickly. The first one is David. He ignored. He creaked ignore, using our language today. Creak ignore. He creaked ignore. When the brother invited him to this battle that was not necessary, he ignored him. And he turned the other side. The other example is Nehemiah, when he was building the wall. There were critics, two people called, one Tobias, another one Sanballat. They said, what are you people doing? This is a weak wall. Even when a fox jumps over it, it's going to fall down. What are you doing? But they did not stop building the wall. They ignored the critics. The next example is 2 Samuel chapter 16, a guy called Shimei who cursed David. Insulted David, a big deal. Then the servant of David came and said, this is too much. Can we deal with this guy? But David said what? He said, behold my own son, my own flesh and blood, seeks my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone and let him curse me, for the Lord has told him so. Perhaps the Lord will see my affliction and repay me with good for the insult of this. He said, don't do it. He had the capacity to handle that man. But he said, ignore him. Perhaps the Lord will hear and reward me for his insults. Wonderful. The last one is Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, the 7th chapter of Acts. When they had locks at him and stones, he did not focus on them. They were his opposition. He did not consider what they were doing. He just looked at his focus. Bible says, focus on Jesus Christ, the other and the finisher. He focused on Jesus. The Bible says, he saw heaven open and the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. So we have these biblical examples. Ignoring these things is important. The other one, number two, is be wrong to be right. Very important. Be wrong to be right. Somebody said, if you want to win every argument for the rest of your life, you only need to be right. Because there are some people you engage with, and perhaps you have to be right to agree with them for the sake of peace. Then you're going to win many, many arguments in life. You know? When you walk in love, I think this is Joyce Meyer who said that. When you walk in love, you give up your right to be right. And Christians, somewhat we don't have rights. And I'm not saying we should not respect human rights. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one. Why did he say that? Because then, of course, we know the law said an eye for an eye. So when you slap me, I slap you. But Jesus said, no, with love you don't do that. When they slap you on one side, don't revenge, give them the other one, because they expected you to hit back. No wonder God said, an eye for an eye and the whole world will be bright. If that is the philosophy we are going to engage in. And this is a principle of love. Sometimes you have to give up your rights. Even for us who are married, sometimes for the sake of the relationship, you have to be to work. That is the real meaning of compromise, by the way, where you agree to be wrong even when you know you are right for the sake of the bigger, the greater good of the family. And this is a very important principle of life. You know, in the traffic here, why would you allow someone who will not be in your world in the next 5 minutes destroy the mood for the morning? Why would you accept? You know, you just let them have their way and go. But now when you engage in, you know, road rage, which is now very common in this country, that person will not be in your world in the next minute. Why would you permit them to destroy the whole morning for you, or the whole day for you, for that matter? You know, as I've just given you an example in a family setting. You know, in a relationship, you have sometimes to be wrong so that things, for the greater good, be wrong to be right. You know, sometimes you have to compromise. Say, yes, I am on the right, but I'm giving up this right for the sake of peace and stability and stillness. All right? So those two are important. Now, the other point is, you're coming to the head now, there is something we call the principle of first response. This is very important. Now, the Bible says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous word stirs up anger. That is the 15th chapter of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, that means... Now, Somebody engages you in a, you know, in a heated debate or something, or invite you into a battle, and they expect you to give, to hit back. But if you give a soft answer, somebody is harsh with you, they insult you. No, instead of insulting back, you give a soft answer. What are you doing? You are actually disarming that person. Let me give you an example. I worked in a church. I've never worked anywhere else apart from a church. And there is this person who engaged me in a battle. He invited me to some battle. He accused me of many bad things, which I don't mind, because if you're a follower of Christ, then these things will come. No, he was inviting me to fight. He expected me to give a rejoinder, you know, and be harsh. But do you know what I did? Because I knew that was the intention, I said, I agree, I sincerely apologize. And that was it. Because the person expected me to start a battle with an engagement, but I quenched that fire. I disarmed him because I accepted a fault, even if it was not my fault. Great. Bible says what we call heaping hot coals. If your enemy is hungry, give them food. If your enemy is thirsty, give them food. I gave an example in the morning, and after the first service, somebody talked to me and said, you know what? I did the same. There is this workmate we worked with. She always backstabbed me, spreading rumors, hated me, and I wanted to heap hot coals on her. I knew she hated me, but I wanted to show her I am an ambassador of love. So what did the person do? Said, at one point, this person was bereaved. She lost a father. And this, our member here, organized their stuff. It's a corporate institution. So they organized the stuff. You know, let's support this person. Let's pray with her. And it was huge. Then after that, started surprising her with small gifts. Until this person came to her and said, you have touched me with your love. I hated you. Please forgive me. I spread wrong information about you. Please forgive me. And that's what we call heaping hot coals. Fighting the right battles. Are we together? Amen, amen. Now, response. The way you respond. Somebody expects you to hit back and you stay calm. You disarm that person. This is the wisdom that God gives you. And finally, walk in wisdom. Again, anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives freely to us. So the Bible says a prudent person sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple-minded sees danger and you go ahead and meet it. So you could be in an argument and you see this argument will not end well. So that is wisdom. So what should you do as a wise person? Take another route. Don't engage into pettiness. Don't waste your time with small animals. Where I come from, they say, don't waste your arrows with small animals. Big game is coming. So you are there hunting, you have only 5 arrows. You see a squirrel, you hit it. You see a rabbit, you hit it. Now when you finish your arrows, you see an antelope come. Or a bullock or whatever it is, and you have nothing to fight with. You have spent all your arrows. This is wisdom, people. It's a P.L. Lumumba who said, you don't respond to a mosquito bite with a hammer. You know, it's just a mosquito bite. Thought, you know, it's fighting, picking up the right battles. The same. So wisdom helps you to recognize what battles to engage in and what not to engage in. And finally, this is it now. Prayer of serenity. And the reason why this came into mind is, this is the story I'm giving you so that we pray. Where I stay, I have to drive through a single lane before I get to the main road. And one of my neighbors, who is old man with children of my age, he loves to drink a lot. And he comes home in the wee hours of the morning. And not once, not twice, I found him, you know, at least, I don't understand why he does that. He drives all the way, but when he comes to the gate, he gets stuck. He stops there. And part of the car is on the road, so you can't pass. And so you have to look for him. Now, most of the time, I find him there sleeping. Now, my day starts at 4 a.m., Tuesday to Friday. Last Friday, I'm out of the house, going to mind my business. Lo and behold, I find that car there. I look inside, he is not there. The gate is locked. I called him, I called the wife. The calls went unanswered, and I started getting worked up. Because now that was, this guy, he is not considerate about us. And when I discovered I'm getting uneasy, I remembered what I tell people. When you get uneasy, like what the Bible says, be anxious of Nothing but in prayer and supplication. In other words, when you become anxious, it's an opportunity to pray. So I told God, now help me here. And I calmed down, and as soon as I finished, the wife called me. Said, we are coming to open. So they came with the man. He was not apologetic, but for the sake, he is my neighbor, for heaven's sake. And I have to respect him. I did. You know, I was getting very angry. I thought I would tell him, but I thought it was not an important battle. Why? Because of this prayer, prayer of serenity. God gives me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. There are things you cannot change. There are people who are still crying over spilt milk. You wrote someone, you can't help it. You are in a bad relationship. You cannot cry over it anymore. You can't solve it. This is what David said when he lost his baby. He said, I cannot bring him back to life. It's serenity. Give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And the courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. This is what we need as young people. This wisdom. When you have this wisdom, it's better than riches. It is better than fame. This will help you live well. Because you know there are things I cannot change, so I cannot beat myself up to them. There are things I can change, I need the courage. And I pray that as young people, as we start this year, we are going to be wise in the decisions we make. We are going to be wise in everything that we do. In the name of the Father, the Son,